What a beautiful gift to be known. Known and received and accepted in Christ. God is our Creator. God who knows us in every single way. I just want to thank you for your grace and for your mercy today. That you made a way. You made a way that if we come to you and acknowledge that Jesus is the way, we enter into relationship with you. No longer just trying to perform and prove our own worth, but declared worthy. No longer trying to just earn your love, but declared loved. Not trying to work ourselves into some, you know, frenetic state where we pay off a debt to you, but we are declared forgiven. Thank you. And thank you that your mercy and your grace are real in this place today, in every moment. Your invitation is there for us to respond, to be restored to you. May we know it here today. Thanks. Amen. Amen. This morning, I really welcome you here, whether you've come as a guest or you've found your way in here first time. You matter. It's not just a castaway statement. You really do. You matter. You matter to God and you matter to us, and we want you to know it. So before you're too quick to just grab a seat and get comfortable, please turn to someone. Welcome them here. As much as we like to be received, receive someone else this morning.
If I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, my name is Andino. I've been a full-time magician since late 2014. The most common questions I get asked when I tell people I'm a magician, so what instrument do you play? And can you make my wife, my husband, or my kids disappear? And to tell you the truth, I can't play any instrument at all, but I can make anyone disappear for the right price. You see, the job of a magician is quite simple. It's to give you the ingredients to make you believe in your head that the magic is real. And to do this, we use two things. We use misdirection and deception. Misdirection simply means to guide you down the garden path, to mislead you to the wrong place. In magic, it's to make you look over here while I do something over here. Deception is to deceive, is simply to lie to get what you want. So today I'm going to deceive you and I'm going to misdirect you. I'm going to show you how easy it is to be misdirected, but don't worry, I'm not going to leave you there. I'm also going to tell you the truth. And the truth can truly set you free, and the truth can turn you into the person God intended you to be. So over the years I've learned hundreds of magic tricks. Now magic tricks, there's a lot of memory with magic tricks, especially card tricks. You have to learn all the patterns and arrangements and all that sort of thing. A few years ago, I decided to challenge myself and to memorize an entire book from start to finish. I know it sounds impressive, so I do need someone to help me to make sure I don't cheat. Could I just get someone about my height, preferably? Do you want to do it, buddy? Yeah. What was your name? Steve. And your first name, Steve?
That's my first name.
So Steve. Nice to meet you, Steve. Firstly, I want you to check and make sure that all the pages are different, all the words are different. There's nothing funny about the book or anything like that. All right, we're going to do this in test condition. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to stand back to back. This, shoulder to shoulder, cheek to cheek. So I can't see. I didn't do that, he did that. All right, this is what I want you to do, Steve. Open the book to anywhere you like. All right. Now, the very top words on the page, does it say Sherlock Holmes?
Correct.
Pretty impressive, isn't it, Steve?
You're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
All right, let's try this again. Open to another page for me. And what's the page number?
117.
All right, on this page, it's got lots of talking in it, yeah? Is it the very first word stolen?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And the last couple words is, it must be bought?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. And the page before, it's got a fairly big paragraph at the start. And it says, "Let me see." Yes. Crazy, isn't it, Steve?
You're amazing.
All right. Turn to another page for me. Turn to another page. What page you got now? 140. Okay, let's have a look here. 140. All right. The very first words are, "Key when someone passing said."
It is.
It's a weird sentence, isn't it? And on the next page, on page 41, the last word is plan, yeah?
Yep.
It's pretty crazy that I can remember all them words in the entire book, isn't it, Steve?
It is.
You got no idea how this is happening, do you?
I have no idea.
No idea at all?
No.
Should we let him in? See if you can turn around.
Good job, you're amazing.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy, isn't it? But Steve, the cool thing is, I'll show these guys as well.
Oh, wow.
Is that actually there's no words on any of the pages either.
Good job.
Cheers, Steve. In a moment, we're going to play a game. It's a very dangerous game. It's pretty much a career-ending game, so I do not suggest you try this at home. Kids, especially you, don't try this at home. All right. Firstly, we've got a bottle. Right now, this is not very dangerous by itself. I've also got a paper bag. Paper bag, into the bottle. Not very dangerous just yet. But then we add a third element. A hammer. And now we've made something that's not very dangerous, actually quite dangerous. On the Lazy Susan, what I've got here is four blocks of wood and four paper bags. We'll take the broken bottle, the end of it. That goes into the block of wood. The paper bag goes over the top. And then we mix it. Now, before we actually start this career-ending game, the very first two commandments God gives us is, "You shall have no other God before me, and you shall not bow down from anything from heaven above or earth below and not worship it." These two commandments we often don't think about. We sort of more think about, you know, do not steal, do not commit murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal from the collection plate. Do not steal the communion, drink the communion juice before communion serve. That's a big one for whoever's serving communion. These are, the first commandment we don't really think about is to put God first. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what we do with God and how we actually, let me put it this way. I want to talk about who you've made your God rather than the God. And I want to condense it into a little section where we're talking about religion, what we worship, and your God. Now, if we can confine this, we'll look at what actually makes up a religion. A religion usually has a temple or a place of gathering where people can come together and put all their focus into the one thing. A religion also has a form of sacrifice of time, sacrifice of money, sacrifice of doing or not doing certain things. A religion also has something that we worship, where we put all our focus and energy into the one thing. A religion also has a form of salvation. Salvation to take you to a better place, to go from what is bad to what is good. Now, I don't want to talk about religions as in different religions around the world. I want to talk about your religion and what you've made your God. So this is where the game gets fun. There's one bag with the broken bottle. Three of the bags do not have the bottle. I'm going to destroy three of the bags, which represent different religions, hopefully leaving me with the one with the broken bottle. I just need someone to help me. What was your name again, buddy, with the glasses?
Stuart.
Stuart, I'm just going to number them 1, 2, 3, and 4. Just which one would you like the yellow one on? Second one. Is that red? That one? The green? That one? And this one here. Now, Stuart, in this hat, I've got four of the same colored silks. What I need you to do is give the silks a mix, if you like, and then take it to anyone in the audience and get them to pull out one silk. Red. All right, we'll call this one the God of Money and Career. Now, the temple for the God of Money is obviously the workplace, to put all your time and your effort into the workplace. A form of salvation if you follow the God of Money and Career. Well, you'll never really quite get there because you'll always strive for more and more. You'll never be completely happy. As a form of worship, when we've got enough money, we lie on the bed, we throw all the money up in the air, and we do big angel wings. Say, woo, this is so much fun. You see, the thing is that God never actually says that you can't have money. He just says, don't make it your God and put it above me. First one down. Stuart. Another. What do we got there? We'll call this one the God of Materialism, to have the latest, the greatest. The temple for this God would be the home or the car, to have the fanciest thing. I just recently bought a Nintendo Switch the other week, and that has become what I've worshipped over the last few weeks, which is not right. And my wife will tell you that I have a problem, which I do, and I'm working it out. Don't worry, I'm working it out. As a form of worship, we can look at social media. Now, social media is a god in itself. To get people so addicted to Facebook and Instagram, that becomes the norm. But speaking of social media, don't forget to like, follow and subscribe. Andino Magician on Facebook, Instagram and YouTube. That's A-N-D-I-N-O Magician. After the service, not right now. You see, the thing is, God never says you can't have everything. He never says that at all. He just says, don't make it your God and put it above me. Stuart. Yellow. We'll call this one the God of Sport. Now, Australians, we love our sport. And the temple for the God of Sport would be the stadium. And the ultimate stadium would be the MCG, where thousands and thousands of people come to worship their team. The form of salvation, if you follow the God of Sport, would be to win the flag or to win the grand final or the series. As a form of worship, we not only clap and cheer our favourite teams, we also paint our faces, we dress in the same colour to say, this is who we follow, this is who we believe in. You see, God never says that we can't love sport. He never says that at all. He just says, don't make it your God and put it above me. We're good with this one? The only way we stay safe is to follow God and put Him first above everything else. You see, the other religions can be so inviting and enticing, and the world puts so much emphasis on these things that if we don't follow them, we'll miss out or we won't be truly happy. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 says, for a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll get rid of that and get other teachers to come in and teach them false myths. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn it aside to myths. But the question is, how do we not fall into the traps of other religions? How do we overcome it? See, Jesus puts it really quite simple. In the book of Matthew, he talks about the wise and the foolish builder. And he's talking about the word of God and what we actually do with it. You see, the foolish builder, he built his house on the sand. And when the rain came and the streams rose and the wind felt and crashed against his house, it says that his house fell, totally destroyed, because he was on a solid foundation. He put his foundation on the word of man and not on the word of God. It says that the wise builder, he built his house on the rock. And when the rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind felt and crashed against his house. It says that his house stood. Because he was on a solid foundation. We need to plant our feet on the Word of God. We need to saturate our spirit with the living Word so that no matter what comes our way, no matter what circumstances we face or opinions that we hear, we can stand firm and know that our God is bigger, that our God is stronger, that our God is faithful, and that our God will deliver. You see, deception is the enemy's biggest weapon. And just about every festival, marketplace you go to these days, there's palm readers or New Age healings or tarot card reading. And thousands of people are coming to these people because they're looking for the truth. They're looking for answers. And oftentimes, it's just a trick. To be able to tell someone what they're thinking is often just a trick. And to demonstrate such a trick, I bring with me my jumbo invisible deck. Have you guys ever seen a jumbo invisible deck before? You guys want to see it? All right. There it is there. You guys can see that all right? At the back, can you see it all right as well? Is that big enough? Yeah, cool. Got some thumbs up then. All right. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it into the sand so you can see that. I'm going to throw this out if someone can catch it for me. Oh, who caught that? And what was your name? Paul. Paul, could you just stand up for me, Paul? Paul, I'm going to throw you the jumbo invisible deck. Now, it's a lot heavier than it looks. Trust me. You ready, Paul? Here we go. Excellent catch, Paul. I like it. Well, done well. Done well. I was waiting for you to take a screamer. Paul, what I need you is shuffle up the cards for me. Paul, take them out of the box first. It makes it easier. All right, this is pretty good. Pretty good, Paul. Who's sitting next to you, Paul? Donna? Donna, would you be able to stand up as well, Donna? Paul, could you show Donna all the cards for me? Donna, they're all different? Yeah, all right. Donna, what I need you to do, I need you to take out a card for me, but don't make it an obvious card like a king, an ace, or a queen or something. Make it like a number card and a suit. All right, I'm going to look away while you do it so I can't see. All right, Donna, take out a card for me. Have you got one, Donna? All right, what I need you to do is show the entire audience what that card is. Has everyone seen the card? Everyone knows what it is, yeah? So I can turn around again? All right. Wait, before I do. Donna, put it back into the deck for me. But don't put it the same way. Turn it the opposite way and then put it back in. All good, Donna? All right, and Paul, close up the deck. Put them back into the box. All right, excellent. And all you got to do is just throw it here, into this spot here. Excellent throw, Paul. Now, to make the jumbo invisible deck visible, we just use a thing called cardboard and a bit of glue, which is sort of like magic, I guess. But lo and behold, we have the jumbo visible deck. And this is the exact same deck as you were holding just a moment ago. Just the exact same one. And to prove it, Donna, what was the card that you took out, you showed the entire audience, and then you turn around and put back into the deck? The Ace of Spades. Did I hear it? Is that right? The Ace of Spades? No, you said Nine of Clubs, didn't you? Nine of Clubs? Donna, I don't know if you'd be impressed. Somewhere in here, where are we? I've got one card. It's facing the wrong way. Now, Donna, if that was the Nine of Clubs, would you be impressed? Yeah, so would I. Donna, the Nine of Clubs. See, we have to be so careful on who we get our opinions from and who we listen to. This next thing I'm going to show you guys represents that whatever opinions we hear, we can actually escape from. Tim, could I borrow you for this? And Stuart, is that all right if I borrow you? You guys all know who Harry Houdini is? Everyone knows who. Houdini used to be able to escape, and his most famous was his straitjacket escape, where he dislocated parts of his shoulder to be able to get out of him. Now, I'm not as stupid as Houdini, so instead I'm going to escape from my own suit jacket. I know it sounds impressive. But to make it a little bit more fun, I also bring with me some handcuffs and some padlocks. So, Tim, I'll show you them. And Stuart, I'll give you them. Yeah, I don't know if you can check them out if you want. Just don't lock them because I don't have the key. This is what we're going to do. We're going to lock me up. I know you're excited now, Tim, aren't you? All right, Stuart. So, lock me up, buddy. Perfect. And we'll go this one around the back. We didn't do this in the morning service, so Tim, you're excited. I can see that. All right, now you guys can see that we're locked behind the back there. All right. Now, what I'll get you guys to do, on the curtain here, there's a couple of white ropes there. You guys can see that. If you can just pull them sort of tight towards yourself, just leave it down for a second. All right. Now, the way this works is when I say up, you guys go up. When I say down, you go down. When I say drop, you just drop everything. All right, we'll do a practice run to see how they go first. All right, so go up, guys. And go back down. Probably go a little bit higher, though. So when we go probably about there. That's probably perfect. All right. All right. Now, last time it took me about 17 minutes to do this. I reckon we can get it a lot quicker than that. I'm hoping, sure, because your arms will get really tired. All right. Are you guys ready? We're going to attempt to escape from the suit jacket. All right, up we go, guys. Perfect. Hold it there. We can do this. This is harder than it looks. Go down for a sec. I'll give you guys an update. We're halfway there. I don't want to lose momentum, though. All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, up we go. Perfect. Hold it there. They say Houdini dislocated parts of his body. Oh, I don't know what I'm dislocating right now. I know it's... Oh, we've got some epic music now, too. Oh, dear. Go down again. I think this is at one step forward, two steps back. I think that's what's happened here. We can do this. All right, let's try again. Up we go. Perfect. Hold it there. Drop the curtain. Drop it to the ground. Drop it down. We've hit a snag. Tim, could you just check to make sure I'm still locked in there? Still all good?
Still looks real good.
Sure. Check it. Make sure I'm still locked in. Yeah. All good? All right. As you can imagine, this is actually quite uncomfortable. We've got to get out of this. All right, let's do this again, guys. All right, up we go. Yep, perfect. Hold it there. Drop the curtain. We have successfully escaped from the suit jacket. Thank you very much, Stuart. Cheers, Tim. In a moment, I'm going to show you guys three cards. And two of the cards represent the teachers, the employees, the workplace, the media, the government. It represents anyone who takes the Word of God and they twist it. You see, when they twist the Word of God, they don't twist it to the extreme straight away. They twist it just a little bit. So it's really, really close to the truth. And then they twist it a little bit more and a little bit more. It's why we need to know the Word of God, so when people start to twist it, we can correct it. I don't know if you guys saw the project last week with Margaret Court. This is a prime example of how much twisting is going on. Margaret was standing for the truth, but the panel had their twisted views, and they pretty much sort of attacked her for what she believed in. If you were to take that interview 5 years or 10 years ago, it would have been a completely different situation. If you went back 10 or 15 years ago, the panel probably would have stood up for Margaret instead of the opposite way around. It's because the Word has been twisted so much and so slightly over time that becomes the norm. These are the people that are telling our young kids that there's no hope, there's no reason to life, there's no real meaning. We're getting kids so confused of who they are and their identity these days. But the good news, the other card I'm going to show you represents the Jesus of the Bible. The one that says your identity is in Christ. The one that says there is hope, there's a reason to live, that you are loved. If you only get one thing out of today's message, know that you are loved and that Jesus loves you. This is the Jesus that promises eternal life. Romans 10:9 says, for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord and will be saved. That's good enough for me. I like it. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord and believes in their heart that Jesus is Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13, for anyone who calls on the name will be saved. John 16:4 says, for I am the truth, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the Jesus that died on the cross for our sin, for our wrongdoing. So I'm going to challenge you guys to see if you can follow Jesus. And instead of using a thing called sleight of hand, I'm going to use a thing called sleight of body. And it's really quite a simple game. This is the aim. This is Jesus here. This is the one you got to follow. Don't get caught up with misdirection and deception. Don't follow these. Try follow Jesus. Now, do you guys want this easy or hard to start with? Easy. All right, we'll see how you go the first round. You guys can see Jesus there? All you got to do is follow him. This is how sleight of body works. All right, here we go. There we go. Did you guys see the slider, buddy? No, because Jesus is over there and the two's over there. All right, I know it goes pretty quick. The slider body is quite good. Do you guys want to try it again? Just for a bit of fun. Yes, I like it, Stuart. All right, I'll make it a bit easy for you guys. You guys can see Jesus there? I'm going to put him up a bit higher. All right, go a bit more. All right, this time I'm going to do it in slow motion so you can see exactly how sleight of body works. Did you guys see the sleight of body that time? No, you didn't, because the two's over there and Jesus over there. You're probably thinking that it is more than three cards. I'll make it easy for you guys. I'll make it easier. I'm going to get rid of one of the cards. I'll get rid of the two. So you guys can see Jesus there? All right. Now, is Jesus on top or bottom? Top or bottom? Has anyone got any ideas? I got no idea because he's not over there. He's back on the table. And that is three-card Jesus. You see, it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get misled. Paul writes, for a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. I love it how Tim was saying in Galatians, he says, who has tricked you? Who has deceived you? In Romans, it says that we have seen the quality of God. We are without excuse anymore. You see, there's a cultural shift in God and heaven at the moment, and we're getting taught it doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter if you're a Hindu, a Buddhist, a JW, a Transformer, a Jedi, what are they? Fidget spinners? That'll be a religion soon too. Is that what they're called? Fidget spinners? Oh, fidget. Fidget. That's a completely different word. They're saying it doesn't matter what you believe in. If there is a God, chances are you'll get there. They even teach that even if you're just a good person, if there is a God, you're going to get there, if there is a heaven. They say that all roads lead to God, which is true. All roads do lead to God, but then every single person will be then judged by God. Book of Matthew says, enter through the narrow gate, for broad is the road and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, I had this image a while ago, and there's God at the throne, and over on this side is this little narrow gate that leads to life, that leads to heaven. And over on this side is this big wide gate that leads to destruction, leads to hell. And there's a big row of people, and they come in one at a time. And then they can see what's behind the two gates. And the first guy kneels before God, and he says, God, you've got to let me in that gate. You know, I was a pretty good person. I did all the right things. I never hurt anyone. I was good to my family. God, please let me in that gate. And God looks down and says, I don't see Jesus. And he lifts his hand to the wide gate that leads to destruction. Next guy comes in. He can see what's behind the gates. He says, God, you've got to let me in that gate. You know, I was baptized when I was a kid. I thought that was my ticket in. I even went to church at Christmas time and Easter time. God, please let me in that gate. God looks down at him and says, I don't see Jesus. And lifts his hand to the wide gate. Next guy comes in, 17-year-old kid. He was in a car accident, and he says, God, you didn't give me enough opportunities. You know, I heard about you. You know, I was going to give my life to you when I was old. I just wanted to have some fun. I just wanted to enjoy myself. God, please let me in that gate. And he looks down and he says, I gave you plenty of opportunities. And lifts his hand to the wide gate. Next guy comes in. He kneels before God. He can't lift his head because the presence of God is so powerful. He says, God, I gave my life to Jesus when I was younger. I've never stopped loving and I've never stopped worshiping you. I know I've made mistakes. I know I haven't been perfect. But according to your word, if I believe in Jesus and live for him, you'll open that gate to life. And as he lifts his head, he sees God with tears streaming down his face. And God says, I see Jesus. And he lifts his hand to the narrow gate that leads to life. It is only if we've been washed by the blood of Jesus that when God looks down on us, he doesn't see us as sinner anymore. He doesn't see us unworthy or unholy. He sees Jesus before us, taking all our sin away, taking all our shame away. It's only if we've been washed by the blood of Jesus that God's going to open that gate. The whole Bible can be done on a piece of rope. I'll explain the entire thing, not everything. This is the concept of how it works. On this side here, you've got God. On this side here, we've got us, humans. Right at the very beginning, God was in relationship with us. He walked in the garden with us. But then, through Adam and Eve, they sinned. And it broke the relationship between us and God. Because of sin, we were separated. But then because Jesus, God loved us so, so much, he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, for our wrongdoings, on the cross. But then, just days later, Jesus conquered death, he conquered sin, so that we can have a relationship with God again. It is only Jesus that bridges us for God. Yeah. Life can be hard sometimes. Life can be messy. The Rubik's Cube can represent different ways that we can, or different religions that we can follow, different paths we can take. But it also represents how messed up life can be. How messed up. Stuart, can you help me again? I'm going to give you the cube. Just put it behind your back and start mixing up. So I want you to mess up your life, Stuart. Like, really mess it up. What's that? Working on it. And I'll take this cube and I'll mess up this one as well. Just stick it back on. Perfect. All right, mix it up, Stu. You mix up your life pretty good. All right, I'll grab the cube back. Stuart. Stuart has done a very good mixing up his life, messing it up completely. There's hope for you yet, Stuart. There's hope for you yet. The cube doesn't just mean... It shows how messed up we can be. This can mean all the hurt, the betrayal, the unforgiveness, the addictions. It can show how truly messed up life can get. But the cool thing about God is no matter how messed up we can get, He'll meet us right where we are. But He won't do it just once, or twice, or three times, or four times, or five, or even six times. He will continue to meet us right where we are. But then, He doesn't just leave us in our mixed up state. He doesn't do that. This is the cool part about God. He makes us whole again. Doesn't mean that hard times aren't ahead or struggles aren't there, but it means inside your heart, inside your soul, and inside your spirit, He'll start putting the pieces back together and making you whole again. I love the story of the first disciples, and in Mark 1:16, it puts it so perfectly. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He sees Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they're casting a net into the lake because they're fishermen. And Jesus comes up to him and says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. At once, they dropped their nets and they followed Him. The beautiful thing about this is that Jesus came to them. They didn't go to Him. I just want you to think about that for a second. We don't know if they had a messed up life. They were fishermen, so I'm sure they were a bit messed up. But they could have been totally all over the shop. And then Jesus came to them and said, come follow me. They didn't fix their life first to go follow Him. He came to them. When Jesus says, come follow me, He's saying, come follow me, I'll give you hope and I'll give you a life. I'll give you a reason to live. When Jesus said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, it means that Jesus is going to take you places you wouldn't even dream of, or send you places you couldn't even think of. These are two ordinary blokes, nothing special, just fishermen. They didn't stop and think, maybe when life's perfect, then I might follow you. Or maybe when I sort myself out, then I might follow you. Or maybe when all my friends follow you, then I might follow you. They simply dropped their nets and they followed Him. You know, the same Jesus that Peter and Andrew said yes to is the same Jesus you can say yes to. Revelation 3:12 says, here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. He who hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. And for some today, Jesus might be at your heart and He might be knocking. And He might have been knocking for some time. And you keep making excuses as to why not to let Him in. Maybe you're going through a really tough time. Maybe everything is just gone down the gurgler. Or maybe life's perfect, but Jesus is at your heart and He's knocking. And He won't stop knocking until you open the door. I want to give everyone an opportunity today. If you have not received Jesus into your heart before, or if you've walked away from God, I want to give you a heart to reconnect with God. So I don't want to embarrass anyone. So if everyone can just close their eyes and bow their heads just for a second. If that's you today, and Jesus is at your heart and He's knocking, it could have been knocking for ages, and you just haven't opened that door yet, I want to give you the opportunity to open that door to Jesus. Let Him in your life. Let Him start fixing the pieces and making you whole again. If that's you today, I just want to pray for you, but I need to know who I'm praying for. Could I get you to just raise your hand up in the air so I can see who I'm praying for? All right, if everyone can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to help me to live for you and for you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Back to what I said at the beginning. Keep the main thing the main thing. What Paul writes about to the Galatians, he goes, who, thinking that you began by responding to that simple love and grace of Christ, would now go and try and live some way to prove yourself righteous. It's a simple good news gospel message that God so loved the world that whoever would believe in Him doesn't have to be destroyed but can know that everlasting life. Those who responded to that simple invitation this morning, if you would like just to talk more or some follow-up, please get in contact with me after this service, with Ryan, with Daniel, with someone else, with a youth leader, with a family member that you know, and let's talk so we can encourage you to walk this journey ahead. I'm so grateful, Andino, just for your misguiding, your misleading us in so many unessential ways, but for leading us in truth when it comes down to the essential. I'm so grateful. And it's worth it. And my hope is today that you will be reminded, even in some of these illustrations. I love the three cards. Sometimes it's pretty hard to just stay focused on what you need to focus on. But Christ relentlessly pursues us. Respond, stay aware of Him, listen to the leading of His Spirit, and allow His work in your life. But my prayer today as we close is that you would know God's blessing upon your lives, that it is He who keeps you, that it is He who makes His face to shine upon you. It is He who is gracious towards us. My prayer is that you would know His wisdom in your life as the light of His countenance is lifted upon you. And may you truly go forward from here today in peace for whatever lies ahead. God grant you that with deep and rich confidence. Amen.